Well, the first thing I had to learn is the Word of God. I had to know what the Word of God was. Because how many know that there's different people that has visions and they have different things that they're shooting for that contradicts God's Word? And if those things contradict God's Word, then you know it's not of God. It sounds simple, right? It sounds simple. But you'll be surprised how many people get sidetracked. How many people get these different visions and say, you know what, I want to do this, and it's going against God's Word. So we have to know God's Word. Also, what helps us to get closer to God is fasting. Somebody say amen. When we fast, come on, we die to ourselves. We die to our flesh. And I don't know about you, but my flesh sometimes, you got to check the flesh. Come on. Somebody say check the flesh. I'm going to write a song called Check the Flesh. Also, too, what helps us to draw closer to God, and I had to learn this coming up, is you got to go to church. You got to attend church. Because how many know that the reason why we're here is to magnify God and to get direction from God? Come on, I love you guys, but I know that seeing you guys is not the main purpose why I come to church. It's to magnify God. It's to glorify God. It's so I could get closer to God. Then there's something about being around believers. There's something about being around different people that's going in the same direction that you're going that helps you in your relationship with God. Like for me, that helped me. Like coming up as a young man, it helped me to be in church. And before, you know, I got saved, like my mother was a real strict mother, so she wouldn't let me travel by myself. And I'm 14, I'm 15 years old. I know it sounds funny, like what? I was traveling since I was 10 years old. But for my family, my mother's like, if some of you guys that met my mother, you know that she's super strict, especially with the girls. Like I feel sorry for my sister sometimes. So the first time I ever traveled by myself, it's that sad to say, was to go to church. Come on, it was to go to church, and I didn't live close to the church. I lived a good 40 minutes away from the church. But how many know that as a young man, I learned the value of going to church? Somebody say no excuses. Come on, no excuses. Come on, it doesn't matter where we live. Come on, it doesn't matter what we did the night before and how, you know, we went to sleep late and all those different things. Come to church. And it also says like this, getting involved in a life group helps to draw closer to God. And getting involved in a life group, that's where you're able to break down the word in an intimate setting. Like you can't stand up right now and ask a question right now. Even if you did, I'll just ignore you. But in a life group, that's where you're able to kind of open up, and then you have your leaders that are able to invest inside of your life. Even for me, the first time that I ever led a worship was at a life group. It was in a small setting. Think about that. That's a trip. It was in a life group the first time where I was able to exercise what God has called me to do. And from that setting, I can say I've been to different settings and the regional setting, international conferences, conventions, but it started in a life group. And if you want to move towards your purpose, and if you want to find out, you know what is God calling me to do? A good place to be is in that life group setting. The second thing I want to look at this morning is we have to give up our own plans for God's plans. So the first thing is seeking God. Then the second thing is giving up our plans for God's plans. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 9. We're going to be reading one verse, which is 23. When you're there, say amen. If you're not, just look at the screen. Amen. And it says like this, Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So one of the steps in fulfilling our purpose and finding out what our purpose is we have to be willing to give up what we want to do. We have to be willing to give up those some of those childhood desires that we had. Like I know a lot of us, we grow up in different cultures and we grow up in different backgrounds and different areas, and then they tell you, this is what it is to be a man. This is what it is to be a woman. In order to be successful, you got to do this and you got to do that. And then when we get saved and we come inside the house of God, some of us, we keep those things. Some of us, we keep those desires. It says like this, our plans must align with God's plans. Things that help that, it says like this, we must be willing to release carnal desires. Someone say, ooh. Come on, we must be willing to release those carnal desires. Like we were talking about, sometimes the flesh, it gets out of control. And there's some of us that we're saved, and God has saved us, and we're in church, and we're serving God, but there's still those carnal desires that we need to release. There's still those desires that we have hidden inside of us that we don't give up to God, that we don't lay down at the altar. And if it's one thing I'll say about holding on to different things, is that it will hinder your purpose. It would hinder what God has called you to do. Because as you continue to make steps unto God, and as you continue to go forward, how many know that when those things come up, they begin to eat up at you? And all of a sudden, you were doing good, and you were moving forward, and you were excited. But then those desires keep coming in. And we have to keep starting over and starting over. Come on, but we must be willing to release those things. It also says like this. We really have to check the motives of our hearts. And that's one thing that I had to learn as a young man, especially in the calling that God has called me for and the purpose that God has put inside of my life, because it's like I'm always in front of people. And it's funny because I never liked being in front of people. Like growing up, I couldn't speak in front of people. Like sometimes I wouldn't even look people in the eye when I would talk. I was a super shy kid. But the calling of God that God has placed me in, it requires me to be in front of people. And one thing I can say about our purpose and what God has called us to do is we must check our heart. We must check the motives of our hearts, because sometimes there's things that we desire for the wrong reasons. We desire ministry for the wrong reasons. We look at the benefits of being a pastor. Come on. All the good stuff. We just see all the good stuff sometimes. But we don't know what it is that happens behind the scenes. I know Pastor Charlie can say amen. Come on, I know Pastor Jamie can say amen. But there's a behind the scenes that take place. A lot of people desire worship and they desire to play an instrument to be looked at. It's not about worship. It's not about magnifying God. It's to be looked at. It's to get recognition. And if it's one thing I will say, that's one thing that I had to learn. I really had to check the motives of my heart. Because the different things and the different platforms and the different areas that God has placed me in, come on, how many know that there's people that's never been there? Like, I've had the privilege multiple times to lead at a world conference, evening sessions, morning sessions, conventions, Mighty Men of Valor, gang conventions, go to Cape Town. And if there was pride inside of my life, come on, somebody. Come on, if there was pride inside of my life, when you get to those platforms, how many know that that doesn't help the pride? It only begins to feed it. It only begins to chip at you. So we have to check our hearts. Why do we desire what we desire? Why do we want to do what we want to do? Like there was a man, I remember in Chicago years back, there was a talented brother, and he was a singer, and he wrote his own music and all those different things. So he wanted to get involved in our music ministry. The reason why he wanted to get involved in our music ministry was for us to push his agenda, for us to back up what he was doing. And he didn't want to sacrifice. He didn't want to do anything in the church. He just wanted to be a part, to say that he was a part, so he could get all of us to back up his little album, his mixtape. Come on, somebody. He was a singer. He wasn't a rapper. But you have to watch out for people like that. You have to watch out for people with their own agendas. You have to watch out for people that want to get close to you for all the wrong reasons. And even for ourselves, we have to ask ourselves, why do you want to get close to the pastor? Why do you want to get close to the leader? And how many know it's a good thing to be close to your pastor? It's a good thing to be close to your leader. But if it's for the wrong motives, come on, if it's for the wrong reasons, like I was saying at the beginning, if it's because you want to get some favoritism, come on, then we need to watch out, because how many know that eventually all those things will be exposed by God anyway? So it doesn't matter if we get the platform. It doesn't matter if we get the recognition. If we don't have the character to match it, then we won't last anyway. Somebody say amen. Come on, it also says it like this, and giving up our plans for God's plans is God's calling and the purpose of God will take us out of our comfort zone. It will. It's going to happen. Trust me, it is going to happen. You're talking to a missionary right now. You're listening to a missionary speak. Someone that's never been out of the country that far. Now a year and a half on the mission field. And if it's one thing that I could say about being a missionary is that the times of testing is going to come. The times of loneliness are going to come. The times when you don't have no money is going to come. Come on, somebody. Then the messed up thing is because there's a time difference. There's a 7-hour time difference. And then when we change the clocks, it'll be 8-hour time difference. But it's messed up to have no money. Then you try to call somebody, then it's 2 a.m. here. So yeah, you got to learn how to just live with it. But if it's one thing I can say about the calling, it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. It's going to take you out of your comfort zone. There's going to be different things that we're comfortable doing that when we begin to pursue our purpose and we begin to pursue that vision, it's like it's not going to feel good. Come on, it's not going to be no pats on the back. It's not going to be no well job, good job. Sometimes you don't get no recognition. Even in Cape Town, like the thing I love about Cape Town is like we have our like meetings with the ministers and all the team, all the key leaders every Tuesday. And if it's one thing I can say about those meetings, it's unpredictable because every week somebody's getting rebuked. Like, so you don't know. Like, you don't know when it's going to be your turn. And I've had my turn plenty of times. And it's not comfortable to get rebuked. You have Pastor Chuck. You have, come on, Sister Mitzi right there. That's just intimidating. Come on. But how many know that it's a part of the calling? Then when it's somebody else's week, then I'm on them. Come on. But if there's one thing I can say is that we have to really know that if God has called us to do something, then it shouldn't be an easy task. Like if we're able to do what God has called us to do just in our own strength and we don't need to rely on, we don't need to seek God, then I really begin to question, come on, are we walking the right way? Come on, are we serving God the right way? Are we dependent on God? Come on, because it's supposed to take us out of our comfort zone. If we're able to fulfill a task without God's help, then God's not in it. That's plain and simple. Because sometimes we're able to rely on the talents that we have to get us by. We're able to rely on the skill that we have to get us by. But if we get to that point, then we have to ask ourselves, is God really in it if I don't need to seek his face to do it? The third thing I want to look at this morning, it says like this, listening to the guidance of leadership. So one of the four steps to prepare for our purpose, one thing that helps is really listening to our leaders. There's a scripture in Proverbs 11:14, and I'm going to read a different version. I'm going to read the Message version. It says like this: without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. Somebody say amen. I like that version. Come on, that's straight to the point. So sometimes God will confirm things through our leaders. How many love your leaders? Come on, how many love them? I mean, like, genuinely love them. Love them on their good days. Love them on their bad days. Because how many know those bad days do come? But it says like this: be open to those that have gone before us. So when it comes to, even when I think about, you know, the purpose that God had for my life, it helped me to be able to look at those that have went before me. Those that are doing something. Come on, not those that are just talking. Because you're going to have people that just talk and say, do this, this, and this, but then they ain't done nothing. Come on, somebody. You don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person either. But being open to those that have gone before us sometimes can save us hardship. It can save us years of heartache, years of confusion, years of frustration, just by being open to what our leaders has to say. Like the scripture said, without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better. The second thing it says like this: surround yourself with godly people, with godly leadership. That's a very important to surround ourselves around people that are moving towards Christ. Also, it says like this: be teachable and open to correction. Somebody say amen. How many love being rebuked? Come on, don't raise your hand. No one likes being rebuked. But how many know it's necessary at times? It's very necessary sometimes, actually, I would say. So being open to correction, that'll show how far we're going to go. That's really going to show how mature we think we are. Because how many know that when you get chopped up, the real you begins to come out. Then sometimes that macho pride wants to come out, and you want to say, who was this person, and who was that person? And it's funny, like you ever seen, like somebody getting chopped up, like somebody getting, I mean, just like getting it. And then the person that's getting chopped up want to kind of find a flaw in the person that's chopping them up. So they try to, like, switch the conversation. Oh, but you did this and you did that. No, it's about you messing up, brother. Stop trying to change the conversation. But coming up in Christ, that's one thing I had to learn. You got to learn how to get rebuked sometimes. Like nowadays, you can't even say rebuked because people get all bent out of shape. You got to say, oh, I corrected you. Because people, I'm telling you, like, people nowadays can't take a rebuke. It says like this also when it comes to listening to the guidance of our leadership. At times, they see things in us that we don't see. And I know that for a fact because Pastor Nick is a visionary. How many love Pastor Nick? Sister Myra. Like, I love them. I've been able to spend time with them while I'm here. And I came here for my brother's wedding and ended up staying a few extra weeks because, like, once we get back to Cape Town, like, once I get back, I'll be going back this Friday coming up. But we have the Africa Conference. Then we also have the gang invasion going on. So, I mean, I have to enjoy my vacation now because once I get off that plane, that's it. Like, the rest of the year is done. But coming up to Pastor Nick, one thing that I could really say is he helped me when it comes to me fulfilling the purpose of God inside of my life. Because at times he's seen things in me that I didn't see. And coming up, I had low self-esteem. I didn't have any confidence. You know, I was very timid. But he began to see that calling inside of me. He began to see the potential that was in me. How many thank God for their leaders that they can see the potential in you when you don't see the potential in yourself? When you look at yourself, all you see are your flaws, and all you see is, you know what, I can't do this right. I can't do that right. But when our leaders look at us, they say, that's potential right there. And Pastor Nick seen me, and he seen potential. And I remember there was one particular time, you know, when you come up inside of the ministry, inside the church, you just get involved in every ministry. Like me, I was on the worship. I did childcare. I was a part of the ushers, the security. I was a part of the breakdown team. I did everything that I could. But it got to the point where Pastor Nick began to see the calling for music ministry inside of my life. And there was one time, it was right before a service, you know, in the restrooms, there's different traffic. So, you know, I think I was walking out. He was coming in. And right there, in the oddest of places, God, Pastor Nick began to speak to me. And he began to say to me, God has called you for a specific purpose. He began to say that God had placed a calling of music inside of my life, and God ministered to him and his wife that I was going to be one of the ones that helped take the music ministry into the next level, to take it into the next direction. And at the time in the music ministry, I wasn't doing much. I was just my leader's armor bearer. I was just learning how to sing. I couldn't even hold a note, really. I was, at the time, I think I was still playing the bass guitar. I think I just started learning the piano or something like that. But right there, Pastor Nick seen the calling of God inside of my life. And he told me that he wanted me to quit every ministry. Somebody like, yeah, amen. No. Don't take it out of context. But he told me to drop the other ministry so I could focus on what God had me to do, what God wanted me to do, my purpose. So right there at that point, God was beginning to prepare me to become a specialist. And Pastor Nick seen that. I didn't see that. So I followed his direction. I began to drop the different ministries. And all these years later, it's just God. Because what he spoke, I didn't see that. I didn't see any of those things. But that's where being around a visionary leader comes in handy. So when your leaders speak inside of your life, sometimes it's going to be things that we don't want to hear. Come on, sometimes it's going to be things that man, we don't want to receive it. But how many know that if we're wise, we'll listen to the direction of a wise counsel? Somebody say amen. And that's very instrumental in walking inside of our purpose, being open to those things when they come. Then the fourth thing I wanted to look at, and the last thing I wanted to look at in steps to preparing for our purpose, it says like this: see the need and meet the need. Come on, see the need and you meet the need. Matthew 9:36-37. It's going to be the last scripture we look at this morning. If the worship team can go ahead and come up. You get to ministry real soft. But Matthew 9:36-37 says like this: but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were all scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. See, Jesus seen the need. Jesus seen the need that needed to take place. But he began to say, the harvest is plentiful, meaning the harvest was ready. The harvest was ready to be reaped. But there was no one to reap it. There were no laborers. It says like this: God will open up our eyes to a need that moves us to action. We see needs because we are called to do something about them. How many ever seen something in the church or like even in the workplace, and you say, you know what, that's something where we could get better. Maybe there's a little area, a lack, or maybe, you know, those things don't exist, but you say, you know what, that's something where we could begin to improve on. And even in the ministry, the music ministry, when I begin to drop all the other ministries and I begin to focus solely on the music, I begin to see all these different things. I begin to see the disloyalty within the team. There were different musicians and different people part of the team where they would say good things in front of the leaders' faces, but then behind the scenes, they'll badmouth them. I begin to see that. I begin to see that my leaders needed an armor bearer. They needed someone that they could depend on. They needed someone that will back them up. That when their hands get tired, they needed somebody to lift them up. And I began to step inside of that role. And what began to happen with all the people that were disloyal, they began to leave. They didn't last, because how many know that disloyal people don't last? Disloyal people are not going to reap the harvest. So when I began to see that, I just did what God called me to do, just to back them up. And then eventually, you know what, God began to bless me and God began to open up my mind and begin to break barriers, and I had to get over that barrier of fear, that low self-esteem, and I began to get over those things, and God was preparing me to take over the music ministry from my leaders after they moved on to something else. It says like this, trust God to empower us to make a difference in that area. So when we see the need and we want to step up to that need, we have to trust God. We have to trust God that He will help us to meet that need. Maybe we don't know what we're doing. Maybe we're stepping inside of something just by faith and we're just stepping into it by obedience. But we need to know that God will give us the tools that we need. God will speak to us. God will enable us. God will power us to do those things. It also says like this, we must take a personal responsibility of seeing that need met. When we step inside of something, it has to be personal. Like we shouldn't just do things just to do them. Even if we're in a ministry for a season, take it. Make it your own. There were times where I had to do certain things where necessarily, you know, I didn't want to do, but I was being obedient. But I had to do it with my whole heart. Everything that we do, we have to do it with our whole hearts. Then we need to be open to give ourselves fully to seeing that need accomplished. That means giving yourself away. That means your personal time. There's going to be some personal time that you have to give up. Like I was saying, like we see the pastors and we see the musicians and singers that do these big events, but there's a lot of personal time that's put inside of that. There's a lot of time where you feel like you're by yourself. There's a lot of time where you have to seek God's face for direction. And in closing, there's a quote like this. It says, God has called all of us to serve Him with our hearts, our minds, our times, and our giftings. There's no greater joy in this world than living in the perfect will of God. Though it might get tough, we will always find peace knowing that we are exactly where God wants us to be. Like I was saying, there's times on the mission field where I feel, man, I can't do this. I feel inadequate. I feel like I'm not good enough to do it. Then God begins to remind me of my purpose. God begins to remind me that I am chosen. God chose me for that specific reason. That things didn't happen the way that they were going to happen because God wanted me in Cape Town. It was God's calling. And, you know, when Pastor Nick began to get with me before I took off, like Pastor Charlie was saying, there was someone else that was lined up. But, you know, whatever reason, it didn't work out. But Pastor Nick began to assure me, and he began to encourage me. He said, that person was never intended to go. He said, you were always the one. You were the one that God called to go there. That was your purpose. That's what God has anointed you to do. And when I went to the mission field, of course it was rough. And at times it looked like there was no growth. At times it looked like people weren't catching it. But a year and a half later, I can say that God's moving. God's moving. And I'm not going to say that I came in and I did all these different things. But it was God's anointing that began to bring in musicians out of nowhere. all of a sudden musicians wouldn't stay before. Now they're staying. Before, musicians were coming in. They wanted to be paid. They wanted to be the best. But these guys are coming in now, and they're brothers. They love each other. They love worshiping God together. They fellowship outside of the church. The same for the different singers that are stepping in. But that's because God had a purpose for me and there in Cape Town. And God has a purpose for you this morning. Come on, God has a vision for your life. God has a calling for your life that no one else could do, like we said. Martin Luther King did something that no one else could do. Nelson Mandela did something that no one else could do. Pastor Sonny stepped in and did something that no one else could do and no one else has done up to that point. There wasn't an inner city ministry reaching out to drug addicts, reaching out to prostitutes, reaching out to gang members. But God placed that calling inside of his life, and we're here today, almost 50 years later, making an impact in the world, making an impact in Milwaukee. And God wants to speak to us this morning. Let's all stand. And as you begin to stand, just begin to lift up your hands. Let God minister to you this morning. Come on, God wants to speak to somebody this morning. Come on, let God speak to you. Let God speak to you this morning. Come on, let God minister this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus, we worship you.